This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Monday's headlines. We begin with the latest developments in the effort to protect the Louisiana coastline and the rest of the U.S. Gulf Coast from that ever-growing oil slick from that ruptured oil well that exploded over a month ago now. Today at a press conference along the Gulf Coast, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal says this is a major threat, not just to the coastline, but to Louisiana's entire way of life.
For anyone who has seen this damage or seen the impact of this oil firsthand, you know that what we've been saying is true. This oil threatens not only our coast and our wetlands, this oil fundamentally threatens our way of life.
Jindal also gave an indication of just how important time is in this fight.
Our biologists tell us that marsh may begin dying in as soon as 5 to 7 days. It is clear that we don't have the resources we need to protect our coast. We need more boom, more skimmers, more vacuums, more jackup barges that are still in short supply. And let's be clear, every day that this oil sits and waits for cleanup is one more day that more of our marsh dies.
Jindal also says that environmental experts have told him that time is even more of the essence because trying to clean up a sensitive environmental area after it's been affected by an oil spill could actually do more damage than doing nothing at all. So he says it's absolutely imperative that as much of the marshlands, wetlands, and coastal areas be protected from ever being contaminated by the oil in the first place. Governor Jindal not thrilled with the federal response to this crisis. He says a lot of assistance was requested and not a lot of it has shown up.
On May 2nd, we leaned forward. We requested a large amount of resources that our parishes would need under a worst-case scenario response to this oil spill. The very next day, we announced all of our coastal parish detailed protection plans. We formally requested 3 million feet of absorbent boom, 5 million feet of hard boom, 30 jackup barges to allow us to keep the soil out of our wetlands. Today is May 24th. We have received to date a total of 815,569 feet of hard boom, not even a million feet.
And Senator David Vitter, also of Louisiana and a frequent guest of ours, says that he has put the same pressure on President Obama to come through with the promises the president made while on the Gulf Coast just a number of days ago.
But that commitment is now being broken because we cannot get so far a timely, clear answer from the Corps of Engineers and others on this emergency dredging Barrier Island plan. We need more boom, we need more boom deployment, but we need that land boom immediately to block oil from our marsh.
A couple of Obama administration officials on hand as well, including Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, who kept sounding the familiar administration theme on its major priority.
We are going to stay on this and stay on BP till this gets done and it gets done the right way.
Also on hand, Interior Secretary Ken Salazar, who wants to make sure that the right people pay the tab.
BP is the responsible party. BP is charged with capping their leaking oil well and paying for the response and for the recovery without limitation.
A lot of growing clamor here in Washington among certain lawmakers as well as among the Washington Press Corps about whether it's time to stop letting British Petroleum take the lead in trying to stop the ruptured oil well at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico, as well as take charge in the cleanup effort. But if allowing BP to take the lead on the cleanup was Plan A, Thad Allen, the Coast Guard Admiral the White House is tasked with leading the government's approach to this, says there really isn't a Plan B.
Is there, to this point, though, of whether the government can do more? Can it push BP out of the way if it feels like that company is not doing the job? What is your response to that?
Well, to push BP out of the way would raise the question to replace them with what?
As you heard, that question just kind of hung there in the White House briefing room as folks here in Washington come to the realization that it's BP or nothing at this point in terms of stopping the flow of oil and containing the extent of this spill, which is now, according to officials, bigger than the state of New Hampshire down there in the Gulf of Mexico. In other news, tensions are historically high in the Korean Peninsula, perhaps at one of the highest levels since the end of the Korean War back in the 1950s. That's because an independent group of investigators has determined that North Korea is responsible for the torpedoing of a South Korean vessel and the deaths of 46 South Korean sailors back in March. The South Korean leadership says that North Korea will, quote-unquote, pay for this. But in terms of specifics, all they've asked for, it seems to this point, is an apology and for the proper people to be punished for that action taken 2 months ago. So is North Korea just saber-rattling again, or could we be on the brink of a major conflict again on the peninsula? For an analysis of that, please head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org for my conversation with retired U.S. Army General Paul Vallely former deputy commanding general in the Pacific, and he will give his analysis of why North Korea continues to be the aggressor and what needs to change in order to keep North Korea in check. He'll also assess the Chinese role in all of this. Also at WorldNetDaily.com and Dateline.RadioAmerica.org, my conversation with South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint. He will explain why he does not think the Senate Democratic version of financial reform legislation is going to do the job at all in trying to avoid a repeat of the financial crisis that hit us in 2008. He says the biggest causes of that collapse weren't even targeted in the legislation at all. Senator DeMint will also give his observations on the Tea Party's performance in a number of political primaries held last week. And, of course, Elena Kagan is set to begin her confirmation hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee on June 28th. But now the leading Republican on that committee says that date might need to be pushed back. Jeff Sessions of Alabama says that the Clinton Library is a little bit pokey in forthcoming with documents from the time that Kagan worked in the Office of White House Counsel, as well as a domestic policy aide. Republicans have requested all of those documents, but the Clinton Library says that the bulk of them may not be available until just prior to the beginning of those confirmation hearings. To this point, Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy has not indicated that he's willing to entertain any sort of delay in the hearings. Meanwhile, one of the lingering rumors, of course, about Elena Kagan is that she is a lesbian. The White House has denied that, and so have many of her former colleagues. However, if that is true, should that be an issue? Not just how she might rule on the cases, but just the fact that she is a homosexual. Matt Barber of Liberty Counsel says yes. That's another conversation you can find at WorldNetDaily.com or Dateline.RadioAmerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.